Six, five, four, three, two, one, zero.
I mean, damn, son. Okay, let's go. Get it together. The current time is 1930 UTC, and that means two things. One, it's time to drink some tea. And two, it's time for another exciting episode of The Dubious Ghost Commentary. That's right. Welcome to The Dubious Commentary. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committer. And I'm drinking tea. Oh. I'm finishing up the Gaoshan leaves from yesterday. Oh, and we're going to drink some more Gaoshan, too. As soon as I can figure out what the hell's going on. We got another really cold day. At least it's a little bit sunny. It's a little bit colder than it has been. I can tell just because it's cold as hell in my house. It's not that cold. It's not that cold. But I went to bed a little bit late. I thought I was going to go to bed on time, but then there was the cat, and then there was some anxiety that I was having that flared up last night. We'll talk about that in a minute. Oh, but I got up a little bit late, so that's okay. Not too bad. Pretty average, really. And there's no reason to get up so damn early when it's this cold. Well, other than the light, of course, if you like daylight, I suppose. But anyway, I did end up sleeping okay. Although I had a really weird dream. I had a really weird dream that was so abstract, I'm not sure what the hell that was about. Okay, so in my dream, the dream starts and I'm just looking into a corner, a white corner. A corner of what, Tobe? Well, like the corner of a room where two walls and a floor meet, or two walls and a ceiling meet. But all three of these planes were white, and I was just looking into the corner going, yeah, huh. Yeah, that's 90 degrees. That's nice. And so as I was looking into the corner, see, in my mind, my body orientation was such that I felt like I was looking into the corner of a floor and two walls. But then there was just this sort of weird, there was this sort of weird shift in my dream, a weird sort of twist. And that's when I realized I was sitting on top of my refrigerator looking up into the corner of my kitchen, ceiling and two walls. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm on the refrigerator. And then I woke up. So for some reason in my dream world, I had to get on top of my refrigerator to inspect a corner, a ceiling corner. I don't know what that means. But if I was going to interpret it, I would say, oh, no, the walls, the walls, a corner in two dimensions is where two things come together. A corner in three dimensions is when three things come together. So I think what I was doing in my dream is I had to climb up onto my refrigerator because it's nice and cool and it keeps all my food. So it's my safety place. I climbed up on my refrigerator so I could get up higher to look into the corner. Gaining altitude, rising above everything, you know, right? To examine this corner, which I believe represents things coming together. Things are coming together for me in my real life, kind of. Or Usually my life is about things falling apart. Usually my life is entropy. And I'm okay with that. So when things start coming together, I kind of get worried. What horrible thing is going to happen to me? So I woke up from the dream going, wow, whose refrigerator was that? It was a white refrigerator, so my refrigerator is kind of yellow. So was I back in my old house, in my old childhood home, on my parents' refrigerator? I don't know. That's a possibility. I don't know. So I woke up, and I was cold. I started firing things up, getting my computer turned on and everything, and the magical algorithmic feed pops up and says, hey, you want to watch these videos? And I said, well, what videos are you talking about? And the algorithm said, these two. And the two videos here are Rooster Loves Reading Newspaper with His Grandpa. And there's a thumbnail of, you know, a senior type guy with a white male chicken on his shoulder. Okay, some kind of farmer slash pirate. What we have here is a guy who wants to be a pirate and have a parrot on his shoulder, but he lives in rural, oh, it's hard to tell, but, you know, probably Nebraska. And so instead he's got a chicken on his shoulder. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I do want to watch that, actually. I'm dying to know why this chicken is hanging out with this guy. And then the next video we have is number one ranked high school tennis player - Japanese girl school life. And it's a picture of four Japanese girls. They're all holding up what would appear to be onigiri. Yeah, they all have onigiri. This one girl has a waffle or something in her other hand. And they're all wearing, you know, typical Japanese girl high school uniforms. Like maroon blazers, blue waistcoat. They got the plaid ties, the white shirts. And they're all smiley and giggly because, you know, there's nothing funnier than onigiri. That word has multiple meanings. Not to be confused with onigiri. Oh, good tea, though. So, yeah. The day's starting out. I'm already trying to figure out what it is I'm supposed to be eating for lunch today. And I think it's ham toasty day. No, I had ham and cheese. We're out of tea. There's only 6 milliliters of tea left. Now there's no milliliters of tea left. So, I guess what this means is we're going up into the kitchen to make some tea. Ooh, okay, I'm standing up good. I'm moving pretty good today. That's good. I've been a little bit sore the last couple days. Can't figure it out. But no, today I'm kind of good. So, we head up into the kitchen as I tell you about my anxiety problem that is from last night. Okay, here's what happened. So I was just hanging out. I think I was doing kitty business. Yeah, I had to, you know, deal with the cat. And so I was sitting down there where we just were. Where's my... Yeah, here it is. We got a... Put the teapot lid in the teapot preheating device, which is just an old cottage cheese container in the sink. So we gotta let that heat up. There we go, we got hot water. We're we're poaching it now. And so there I was last night sitting in front of my TV watching videos and brushing the cat. That cat over there. I can see you. You're a good fluffy baby. I love you. You're a Smanoogadins. You're a Smanoogadins. That's what my cat is. A Smanoogadins. So I was brushing the cat and an email popped up. And I said, oh, I better check my email because it was from the Emeritus. And I said, okay, what's the Emeritus doing? And what has happened is that, yeah, hi, you want to get up? No, we're not going to play the counter game right now. I got to do stuff. I got to make tea because this water's ready. Ready or close enough. So I get an email from the Emeritus. And he's forwarding me a notice that says that blah, 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 some certain company that I do business with occasionally is having a great big blowout sale, you know, because it's the end of the year. Well, it was the end of the year, and now you know what's up. It's January. It's mega sale time. Post-holidays. Got to get rid of all that damn holiday stock. Pour the water. Ooh, oops, I poured some water onto the counter. That's not good. Making tea. Okay, oops. Spilled some more on the counter. Set the tea timer. So I get the Emeritus email. It says, oh, you better take a look at this sale just in case. And I said, nah, I pretty much got everything I need. Nah. I don't have time. I got to deal with the cat, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, no. Always check the sales because you never know. It could be critical. So I thought, okay, fine. Click. Tea's ready. So I click on the link and I go to the sale and, oh yeah, they got all kinds of great stuff as expected. And, I was like, yeah. And it's this company, and they have these big sales, but the discounts aren't all that big. You know, it's like 10% or whatever, which is still decent, but I'm scrolling down, I'm looking through all the stuff, and yeah, okay. And then, sharp intake of breath, guess what I see? I see a little thingy that it's not that I need to have this thing. This is kind of complicated. But this is a device, this is a module, a synthesizer module that I saw a couple years ago when I was, you know, just starting to put my modular together. And I said to myself when I saw the thing, self, that is something really cool. That is something that you want. That is a thing that needs to happen. Until I saw the price. And I said, okay, no, that can wait. Because this particular device, it's not going to do me any good to explain to you what it is, but it's one of those things that was not quite the direction I wanted to go. But that's one of those things where I said, yes, if I was going to do this act, I would need that thing. But like I said, it's kind of pricey, so it sort of went on the list of things that... how do I put it? It's not like fantasy things that I want, but sort of like tertiary things that it's going on the list, but it's low priority. One of the lowest priorities, right? Well, yeah, this popped up. This very device popped up on sale for a considerable discount, almost half price. And I said, oh my God, yes, I can afford that right now. Even though I should be spending that money on epoxy and other craft supplies. But the thing of it is this sale actually was like ending in a few hours. Oh, it was the last day of the big sale. And I said to myself, you know, at that price, I can't afford not to buy it. So I did. Yeah. Now, this thing is kind of cool because it's not going to take much to get this up and running. And the weird part of this is this was like one of the devices that I was thinking about for my skiff. You've all heard me talking about the potential of building a skiff type modular synthesizer for doing completely different things than what my system is for. And this is something I've been thinking about for a week or two, thinking, okay, yeah, I'll put this together over the next year or two so that in 2, maybe 2.5 or 3 years, I'll have this other little sort of portable little thingy that I can just, you know, jump into my, throw into a car, drive somewhere, and it's more easily transportable than, you know, my full-on modular rack system, right? Well, this is like the very first thing I thought of. This device is the first thing I thought of to put into this skiff. And now you can see where my anxiety is coming from. Because now I have a module coming that I don't want to say that I can't use it. Because my rack is full. And this thing is, what? What was it? 24? I forget how wide this is. It's kind of a big module. It's not going to fit into my rack unless I take something big out, which is not good. Which means now I have to start looking for skiffs, right? See where I'm going with this? Yeah, it makes all kinds of sense. So I started at about like midnight last night. Then I thought I better look at skiffs. Yeah, and the first one that comes up is more expensive. It's almost, but not quite, twice as expensive as the rack that I have, which is not a skiff. It's almost twice as much, and it's less than half the size. And you gotta be kidding me. Are you joking? Yeah, that's what the Eurorack world is like. You gotta look for stuff. You gotta find stuff. And so I'm finding skiffs that I find to be at a reasonable price that might be big enough for what I want to do, but I would also like this skiff to be very portable, which means putting it into a case that can really be beaten on. And ideally, I'd like to be able to take this on airplanes, because having a skiff solves a couple of my problems, but it creates so many more. Because now this module is going to show up in a few days, and I've got nothing to put it in. Oh, but wait, maybe I do. Florian has his own case, but I took Florian out of his case because it only fits Florian, and I put Florian in my rack. So now I have this case that's big enough for one module. And when I say big enough, it's actually bigger than it needs to be, but it only has a single power supply, and so it can only power one thing, which is fine because maybe I could add some passive modules. Okay, right? Blah, blah, blah. So for testing purposes and having fun and learning the module, I could just drop it into Florian's old case and set it over there by my modular and feed it from my modular. And then I thought, well, wait, that's dumb. Why am I doing that? Why not just take Florian out of the main case, put him back into his own case, and then that opens up massive amounts of space on my main case that the new module will fit into, plus more modules. And now I can buy more modules! Yeah, no. Okay, and this is a great idea, if I want to include it with the regular case, but the whole point of the skiff is to have a separate small case for doing that. Yeah. So, that's what sort of kept me wired last night. The anxiety of, oh God, another module's coming. I've got nowhere to put it. How am I going to power it? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do... No. It is time for some divergent thinking. I'm actually thinking about building a case for this. Build my own skiff. Build it out of wood. So it's super tough, and you can throw it around and drop it off buildings, and or check it into airline luggage, and it's perfectly safe. But the problem with that is then you have something big and something heavy. I'm trying to avoid big and heavy. That's the whole point of having a skiff, something that's small and light instead of your giant rack full of synthesizer modules. Okay, so What am I going to build again? How am I going to build this? Yeah, how am I going to build this without a shop? I want to go back in time. Back to when I was in junior high school. I guess they call it middle school these days. Because my junior high school had some great shops. They had a great wood shop. They had a great metal shop. Oh, and I need that metal shop right now so bad. I need some sheet metal, and I need that shop. And their press brake and that giant shear. I could make cool stuff. I could make synth boxes. I could do synthy stuff. Yeah. So anyway. That's where I am. Mentally. And emotionally. And physically. I'm right here. I'm right here physically. I'm right here mentally. And I'm right here or slightly over there emotionally. Because I'm not quite as anxiotic as I should be. My mind is telling me, no, be calm. Be calm. Everything is actually fine. You're just having Tobe World problems. Yeah, I know. Then I found a company that had a good skiff that I liked. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. But that was also pretty damn expensive. Ridiculously so. And then I found another company, or was it the same company? I don't remember. It was a different website, though. They will build you this case, and they show you this little case, and they say, oh, it's $40. Yeah, it's $40, but it's only 6 inches wide. It also doesn't have a power supply. So you can get it built in any custom width you want. You can get them with captive nuts or with rack rails that are tapped. And you can get them with a power supply, and there's 5 options of power supplies that you can select from. And now you have a menu, and you're taking boxes, and you're building a custom rack. And I tried to do this, and I realized, oh my God, we're over $250 already for this. Go back, uncheck some of these boxes. Maybe not get the best power supply. Maybe this is the second best power supply. Maybe make it a little bit shorter. Well, I guess it can be 18 centimeters shorter than that. I guess I can make do with a 48 centimeter skiff. I have problems. Now I know what you're thinking. It's like, yeah, Tobe, you do. Those are internal problems. You need to see a psychiatrist. You have a synth problem. You know, it's not that I have a synth problem so much as it is I have a transportation problem. How do I move my gear? Oh, and that reminds me of something else. I got an email from Lad. And he said, yeah, Michael Stearns is doing a concert in Tucson. Let's get plane tickets and go to Tucson. Plane tickets? Oh, God. Wait, when is the concert? Oh, yeah. Can I drive to Tucson? Yeah, I can drive to Tucson. I know how to drive to Tucson. You just get on 80 and then you go west. And then when you get to Julesburg, you sort of veer left and go to Colorado, and then it's south from there somewhere. I mean, once you get close enough, you'll know how to get there. They'll tell you how to get there. There's signs. All those signs, you're welcome. That's for you. That's information for you. That's a 2-day drive, if I only drive like 8 hours. Yeah. You want to go to Tucson? You know, Stearns, does he live in Taos? No, he lives in like Pueblo. Somewhere in New Mexico, not Albuquerque. So Tucson's not that big of a deal. God, I kind of want to go. But the truth of the matter is, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I need to stay home. I need to focus on building this little skiff, because this little skiff thing is also going to be my new age meditational ambient crystal vibration magic machine for that kind of music. And I'm gearing up, kids. I'm going to need some. This module that's coming is not technically a sound source. It's not an oscillator, but you can get tone out of it. So it's sort of, it's basically a filter. It's a very, very complex, very controllable, crazy ass filter, which you can ping. And it's resonant, so you can get it to ring. It's a ping and ring. And so I don't want to, like, what I don't want to do is sequence it. No pre-programming stuff, no nothing, no blah, blah, blah. I just want to drive this thing with pings, maybe some gates, and logic. I don't want to do any programming. And nothing is, like, pre-quantized. We're just going to ping this thing. We're going to go crazy. We're going to make fun space music for... planetarium shows. That was the other thing. Did I even mention this? Around the first of the year, I got an email from Lad. I was complaining about places to play, and I said to him, why are we looking for genre-specific venues? We're fully self-contained. We can go into any music venue. We can go into music bars. We can blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, well, you know, why don't we try to play this bar, these music venues here in town, these big places that are pretty good and have everything we need. We don't have to worry about crappy equipment and thrift store cables and all that stuff. And as a reply, he sends me back this link to a directory of planetaria. Was it just in the state of Nebraska? And okay, so planetarium tour, is that what's going down? We used to have one here. It was great. I know it was great because not only did I have classes in that planetarium, a few years later, I actually installed the sound system. Oh, I helped install this. My company that I worked for installed the sound system that they used for their laser light shows and blah, blah, blah. And it was, there's a whole story behind that. But we put a killer, killer sound system in there. Overkill. Oh, yeah, there was dust falling out of the dome when we were testing it out. All the physicists got scared. This was after they told us that the little tiny speakers we brought weren't going to be big enough. And the one amplifier we brought wasn't going to be enough. They got scared. Old Chuck Pennington was running around, shut it off! Shut it off! Well, Schmidt stuck his head in, and as soon as he saw me, he goes, oh, I should have known you would have been involved in something like this. And he turned around and walked out. Chuck was running around, tearing the last of his hair out. Anyway, planetarium tour? Yeah, it's a brilliant idea. Is there a planetarium in your neighborhood? Do they do concerts? So yeah, I need to write some planetarium music in case I need to play any. Planetarium music is pretty good. Pretty simple to do. I got it down. It's basically, you put in some pads and a low rumbly bass note. And then every once in a while you put in a... This is usually when there's a comet on the dome or a shooting star. Planetarium music. Basically, you just need to rip off Tomita. Go full Horkheimer on their asses. And then go full end of the line.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line.
Oh, yes. So, the rooster loves reading newspaper with his grandpa and the number one high school tennis player, Japanese girls' school life, dubious goals committee has come to an end. Tune in tomorrow for more of just whatever the hell it is that I do around here. I don't even know. Where's my tea? I want...